And welcome to the Council's Connection Show for this month. My name's Michael Goodrich from Yarrandoos Council. I'm the Community Development Officer for the Upper Yarra, from Wandoon up to Reefton and Powerton, everywhere in between. And our show is all about hearing about community stories and what's happening in our regions across the valley and Upper Yarra. And this week, this month, we're talking about rural properties. There's an event coming up later this month on the Sunday, 24th of May. At the Hearsville Memo called Managing Your Rural Property Conference. So it's a great event, so only a $5 entry, and talking all things about how to manage properties. And in the valley and up the area, there's lots of communities who have moved to the area or have generations of properties that they manage and look after as well. So today I've got a few guests to talk about what that looks like and what the event's about as well. So welcome, my guests. Welcome, Corey. Welcome, Bron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Good, thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Now, you both have different experience working and supporting people managing properties, but Bron, can I start with you? What's your experience and background with working properties and your family's history as well?
So I was born and raised on in an orcharding family, and they've now moved on to cattle in their retirement. I've stayed with horticulture myself, growing blueberries and feijoas, and my husband's a tree nursery producer.
Mm-hmm.
And my role at Agribusiness Yarra Valley has connected me with Corey and Landcare, and part of this managing your rural property team. So Agribusiness Yarra Valley likes to try and attract projects to the Yarra Valley that can help all land managers or agribusinesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, for example, I've worked, most of you might have heard me already, as the Queensland Fruit Fly Coordinator. We're also running blackberry management plan projects and other projects to help you reduce your environmental footprint on the land and the environment whilst you're still in that production mode with whatever you're producing on your land. So yeah, a couple of different projects there.
Yeah, and quite a broad spectrum there. For the Yarra Valley, is obviously quite a broad spectrum of types of land managers you're working with and supporting with regards to agribusiness and what they're growing and how to manage those pests and the weeds and come to produce healthy
pastures.
It's amazing
how many problems or issues or positives are the same. It's all about putting effort in, looking after what you've got, leaving the land in a better condition than what you've founded or inherited as.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, making a living and some sustenance for yourself. So whatever floats your boat, whatever you grow well, we're here to support people to do that well and share their knowledge with others.
Yeah, thank you. And Corey, tell us a bit about your background as well.
Yeah, so I work as the land care facilitator for Yarra Ranges Land Care Network. So we've got 10 different land care groups spread across the Shire. All of them have their unique little niche and focus on and their own version of environmental stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
We've got groups that do just horse property workshops and education and stuff, agricultural property education. We have groups that do working bees, plantings, litter days. Intrepid Land Care does environmental stewardship for young people, people in their 20s and 30s. Mm. So that's my job, is to support all those different groups across the Yarra Ranges Shire.
Yeah, I think if a lot of groups have heard about land care groups and volunteer groups sort of looking after sort of public land spaces, but you look a lot with land managers as well in that as well. So I think the background, I guess we might have heard of land care and a bit about probably seeing volunteers. We can spend more details around the history of land care. I'm curious about, what do you know about the different groups in the area? You said there's about 10 here, so people in the Yarra Valley and Upper Yarra, they might know about the Yarra about land care or different groups. Can you spend a bit more around those types of groups in land care? So to get a bit of an understanding of, you know, what land care does.
Yeah, so land care, in that word, has been around since the mid-80s, mm-hmm. but people have been getting together to tackle shared environmental problems for a long, long time. But here in the Yarra Valley, we've got Upper Yarra Land Care, which is based in the O'Shaughnessy Ward.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Mount Toolibawonga District Land Care Group, Dixon's, Chums and Seals Creek. We've got a few groups up there. They do all sorts of stuff, get together and do revegetation. They share equipment, like chemical, Mount Toolabiwong District have a rig sprayer that they hire out. So yeah, lots of good stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. And so yeah, long history of land care as well, and probably a long history with your family, but knowing the things that have finished before the show started as well, is like, what stayed the same in land care and land management, and what's sort of changing? So I'm curious about your perspective in your paid role, but also in your family. Is like, what have you noticed?
I've noticed in the Yarra Valley that what stayed the same is that we're always changing.
Mm.
Sorry to give you that complexity.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've always had to adopt new practices. We've always had to adapt to different conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a constant in farming and rural communities.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you noticed, that other changes that are happening? Is there anything more recently you noticed that these new adaptations have happened that are common across the different areas?
From a production point of view, that price point that you can sell your product at is constantly changing and putting pressure on whether what you do is financially viable or not. I think there are some people just farming because that's what they do.
Like, yes.
They'll make it meet. They might not make a huge profit. They might even make a loss, but they'll keep going because they really are just land stewards.
Yes.
And like, it's their lifestyle as well as what sustains them and pays the bills.
Mm.
So you've got to be pretty tough to be a farmer, and you've got to be in it for the long haul.
It's a very challenging life. It's a hard work and financially challenging. Like, I know a lot of farmlands have sittened families for generations and next generations. Like, well, how do you make this as a living?
You make a living because you just figure stuff out.
Yeah.
But you're doing it for more than just that living. You are doing it for your lifestyle. Sorry, your lifestyle and the privilege of living in the Yarra Valley. It's pretty special.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, as I said, you're land stewards. So you work with the land that you have. You look at your soil characteristics. Mm. And you look at the weather and you make adjustments. And that's really critical to successful farming.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there particular, I think some change in, like, the change is a constant. And so I'm curious about, like, you know, the different technologies and understanding, like, land, so the soil makeup and how people used to farm sort of 50, 60 years ago is very changing how they farm now.
So many farms are really conscious about their fertiliser and their inputs.
Mm.
We are always looking for more economical ways to do things.
Yes.
And, you know, it is the same as trying to reduce your inputs and maximise your outputs. That's always the same.
Mm.
I think we are needing to make adaptations to how we farm, whether it be that the temperatures might be a bit hotter, the temperatures also might be colder, the wind might be just that little bit more forceful.
Mm. Those extremes of changes.
The extremes have changed.
Yeah, and quicker too.
But I speak to older people around me and they'll remember the drought of whatever year or the flood of whatever year. I was like, yeah, we've got them too.
Yep. Yeah.
But, you know, it is, you have to be very, very conscious about your inputs, that they are an exact match for what you're going to take from the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that replacement program. Otherwise you're mining.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
So it is about knowing the details about what you put into your property, managing the weeds and the pests that could be taking away from your property as well, and getting that balance right.
Yeah, it's interesting thing about, like, you know, what are you taking in, what are you putting back, and farmers are amazing, always have been, around resilience and sustainability, because you have to be as a farmer.
Yeah, if you asked me what profession is the most resilient, I would definitely say farmers.
Yeah, it's do or die, like, it really is, like, it's, and that...
they've got skin in the game.
That's, oh my gosh!
Not normally what we say.
Yeah, and generations of it too, and because you can't just walk away from that land and go start somewhere else. You have to look after that. You have to be resilient.
That.
Yeah. And Corey, for you, I guess on that lens of, like, working with the land care groups and knowing the history of land care.
Yeah.
Back from the '80s to now, what are the changes and what are the things that stay the same that you've noticed or you've heard talking to the groups that you work with and those land managers?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about change, it's and technology, bringing that back to just property owners in general, you can't go past the ability for people to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people can live hours from the city and they have a job in the city and they only have to go in there once a day to be in person or even not at all, then more and more people can flock to the rural areas. And when you couple that with a pandemic, when people have gone, oh, actually, maybe I'd like a little bit more space, I think there's been a real demographic shift here, here out in the Yarra Ranges. There's so many more small properties, lifestyle properties and small sort of hobby farms. And so that's, I mean, it's a bit of a weird thing to talk about technology when you're in that regard, but I think that's had a massive impact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and especially in the last, say, 5 years, where people can work hybrid lives and work from home for some days in the city, so people do that and choose rural property. And across Victoria, and it's like within the hour and a half distance from the CBD, people can live these two lives. The collective impact of smaller land allotments and properties and people not managing how they used to manage as well, and the collective impact of all these small pockets of land and micro farms.
Yeah, that's right. And you've gone from a system where a lot of the property owners are properties are passed down through generations, so you get that intergenerational knowledge. But now we have a lot of new property owners who are sort of starting at the beginning and are requiring a lot of information and a lot of knowledge that they're not getting from their family. But I guess going back to technology, we have a lot more access to information these days, so it's easier for property owners to do that. But I think that's really important to acknowledge that there are a lot of people starting from the beginning here in the Yarra Ranges at the moment.
And start that journey as well.
I think an important message is that those new landholders are made aware that they can reach out to that wider family and touch base with other people for that knowledge. Just to know about the water normally goes down that way or the sun comes up on that side of the paddock.
Yes.
You know, these particular trees do really well here or this soil tends to do this in this kind of weather. That knowledge, that shared knowledge and in your community is actually really handy.
Because there are so many little microclimates in these areas too. So many microclimates that it's really specific around what grows where and how it is, and throughout the seasons as well.
That's a big piece of advice we give, is that when you move into a property, don't make any big decisions for at least the first year until you've at least experienced all four seasons or all seven Wurundjeri seasons and you have a bit of an idea. But again, that's what Landcare is all about, tapping into your neighbours and the people that have been there a bit longer than you maybe and have a bit more experience, have experienced a few more seasons than you and sharing that knowledge.
Yeah, anything which you've gone before around like the soil testing, understanding the soil, like listening to the land and responding to the land compared to like moving out here and going, I've got an idea for what this, I'm going to grow here.
You can't come out with a plan. You've got to go and learn about your land first.
Plan is to listen.
Yeah. And see what the land is going to allow you to do well. And that's just good production advice, is to grow what you're going to grow well and stick to that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, especially in properties out this way, like everyone has a bit of land, a bit of grass and trees in their property. Wurundjeri is what we all are, land managers in some part. It's just the size of that land. But accumulatively, the impacts can be great both ways. If we all manage land well, fantastic.
If we
don't.
Just spoke to the commercial guys.
Yeah.
We wouldn't actually impact much of that land use at all. Like, there's actually very few of them compared to the number of smaller holdings in the Yarra Valley.
Yes.
And I can liken it back to my fruit fly message, is that everyone's got a lemon tree. So
yes.
That's about, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 lemon trees in this small space, you know, compared to an orchard manager who has the same number of trees on one property. We all are land managers and we all need to be able to look after our lemon trees.
Yes.
Well, we all need to be able to look after our little bit because that cumulative effect is massive.
It impacts each other. Flies don't care about boundaries.
They ignore maps.
They don't care about maps at all.
Apparently blackberries don't.
And blackberries, oh my gosh, no. And like I have a small little block, it's 800 metres, but it's, I have land and I have trees in there. I have like a feijoa tree and I've got apple and bits and pieces and I have blackberries.
We can help you with that.
Yeah. But you think about that, and I think people who will listen to the show today, they're like, oh, I'm not a land manager, but like...
You are a land manager.
You have a verge, you have a space, you have, and you obviously there's community gardens as well, so...
And you can have an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowing the understanding of what it is and how you can support the ecosystem across the ranges. So what land managers do or land owners do in this area, or if you're renting as well, if you're managing land well, that farm that's 5, 10, 20 k's away will be impacted by how you manage and don't manage your property, particularly for fruit fly and other types of pests and blackberries as well, because the wind will blow those across the...
Yeah, but it can even extend out to fire and blood.
Absolutely, yes.
And I'm pretty sure we've got expert presenters at the conference that are also going to look at how you can protect your property and your... in particular, your large animals, because that's pretty common out here.
Absolutely,
so
yes.
It is. It's that neighbourhood approach to things, no matter whether it's a pest or a disaster that might threaten you.
Yeah. And it's like, it comes back to, like, you know, land management is everyone's responsibility. If you're there and you're living in the community, you're all part of that. And even just understanding what it means looks like, so you can have those conversations. And when people move in, you can sort of help them understand what it looks like, because particularly if you're living in suburban areas where they're all blocks and small and they're in apartments, there's not that understanding of the interconnectivity across the land and community, how what you do and don't do really does impact the broader community, particularly without pests and bushfire as well.
And the impact of what you do can be far greater if you're doing it together.
Yes, collective impact.
Yeah, you can't do anything against rabbits just by yourself, for example.
No. Yes.
And again, with bushfires and floods and disasters, you really need to be working as a community, because you by yourself, it can be very lonely doing things by yourself, and you can have all the knowledge, all the money in the world, but sometimes with the roll of the dice, you know, nature doesn't target everything fairly, and you can get the bad end of the stick, and then. Where are you left with if you don't have community?
Yeah, and the reverse of doing things together is that, like, you've got this thriving, resilient agricultural business and farms around here, so the more produce you have, people can sell it to the markets, you'll have access to better produce, more affordable produce for your community, which is why people live out this way, just because of the environment, because of the bush, but also the produce you can get access here is amazing.
Yeah, fresh is best. If you know where it came from, like if you can identify what it is and where it came from, you know that it's better for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And better for the owners and farmers too, because obviously better margins for them and better profitability, which means they can manage it and reinvest their community as well.
Are you want to come to the conference as well? You've got it nailed.
I do. I really want to. I'm so curious, because I think people... And there's lots of good people passionate, and, you know, people passionate in this area who live out here because they're passionate and they love the environment. They love the hills and what that love looks like, and their actions can be very different. So there's, you know, people think farming is fantastic and let's farm it and how to manage it really well. There's permaculture groups out here as well, but it's all that ecosystem understanding how we all contribute to it as well. So I wonder if yourselves, you have a pitch of, like, if somebody's listening, like, I'm just a homeowner. How is this land management relevant to me? Oh, somebody's got a microphone. Well, has just moved out here recently. And is like, oh, actually, when I'm going, what can I expect from this workshop coming up this month?
I think you can expect to meet your neighbours and meet people that you have things in common with.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be able to tap into an amazing amount of resources that could help you in one way. Even if it's a little way, it's still going to be something that you can take home and adapt what you do. And I think you nailed it on the head before. You said we're all land managers.
Mm.
We really are all land managers, no matter whether you're doing something that's productive and commercial, or whether you're doing something that's about creating that land space or those natural environment and those natural assets and improving those. You can do one or the other or both together. You can do it at any scale.
Mm.
But you've got to be able to tap into the resources and the knowledge.
Yeah.
And even if you wanted to come to this event and share your knowledge, that's another opportunity too.
Mm. Yeah, sorry.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's a journey managing a property, be it large or small, and it's a never-ending influx of information. As you say, everything's always changing, so you just got to chip away at it. And coming to things like this, you might not take away everything. You might not learn it. You might not remember everything from the day, but... You'll start the journey at least and meet some like-minded people.
And amazing people. People are passionate about the land and love the land and have those conversation connections. People love being here because they want to connect with the community, be part of the community, and this is it. This is a great chance to meet those local farmer land managers and yourself and everyone is. by understanding the history of the place as well and what they can learn, how they can manage it probably better as well. Thank you so much for the conversation today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I do a shout-out?
Absolutely.
I want to shout out to all my Yarran primary school mates. I want to see you at this conference. I know you still live here in the valley. It's going to make it a catch-up.
Absolutely. And it's a great point. You talked about residents, you talked about farmers, but the schools, those places who have a large amount of land, and they are stewards of the land, and children starts for those children as well. So, yeah, I think collect all those primary students, and those parents who have primary students, come along, learn and listen. It's a great chance. Thank you. Beautiful. Well, we're going to have a quick song now. It's going to be some Huey Lewis and The Power of Love. If you love Back to the Future, you'll know this song. And then we'll come back with Jen Ellison chatting about the Managing Your Rural Property Conference, which is coming up on Sunday, the 24th of May.
The world around. short of stable. All that she intends, and all she keeps inside is in on the label. She's ashamed. Can she take me for a while? Can I be a friend? We'll forget the past, or maybe I'm not able. And I break at the bend.
Welcome back to the Council's Connection Show with Michael Goodrich, your Community Development Officer for the Upper Yarra from Yarrandoos Council. Thank you so much to our guests, Bron and Corey, talking about their experiences of land managing and supporting land managers. And that conference is coming up. Managing Your Rural Property Conference is on Sunday the 24th of May, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Healesville Memorial Hall. It's $5 entry. So book in. If you just go on the council website and search Managing Your Rural Property, or jump into your browser and just search Managing Your Rural Property Conference, you'll come up there. It's a fantastic event and conference. And as we said in the, before the songs there, we're all land managers, so it's something for us all to learn, understand how we can support and allow our local farmers and producers to have a strong, sustainable future, but also manage our land together as well. That collective impact is so important. And talking about collective impact, we have an amazing lineup of great events coming up in the Upper Yarra and Valley this month. And I'll have a little bit of a shout out for those events coming along. So as I run through them, you'll find all these events on Facebook or the council's event page, or if you just search the title event in your browser, you'll come up as well. But First off, May for Mum's Market is on this Saturday, the 9th of May from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Don Valley Hall. This is hosted by the Wild Community Group. It's an amazing market. It's a fundraising event as well for Ben Wearin. So come along and celebrate Mother's Day, a relaxing community market supporting Ben Wearin. Ben Wearin is a women's shelter and family shelter in the Yarra Junction area. It's a time out for women and children in need. Enjoy handmade gifts, high tea, hot and cold drinks, barbecue food, roasted chestnuts, free kids activities. It's a wonderful event, an amazing community wild event there as well. So that's at the Don Valley Hall this Saturday, 12 p.m. Sorry, to 3 p.m. as well. So that's a great event to come along to. Also, we have every Tuesday now, there's a Valley Voices Youth Choir at the Redwood Centre, Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. It's a free and welcome choir for young people aged 5 to 17 years old, offering opportunity to build confidence, friendships and musical skills. No auditions are required. It's just a chance to bring together and enjoy singing together. It's a great event. I know we've had about 15 to 16 primary students coming along on that Tuesday afternoon and just learning songs and singing together. It is beautiful and it's family-friendly as well. So it's free every Tuesday at the Redwood Centre from 4 to 5 p.m. We also have craft chats and cuppers at the Yarra Junction Community Hub. That's at the Series Centre, at the Early Learning Centre on Little Yarra Road. That is on Wednesdays from 1 to 3 p.m. It's a friendly, creative space for people of all skill levels to work on drawing, painting, knitting, crocheting, or any craft you enjoy. Just bring along your crafts and things to do as well, but a chance to sit down and have a chat, have a cuppa and a craft together and build some friendships. It's wonderful there. And you come say hello to Amber there at the Yarra Junction Community Hub. They have lots and offer. They've started their monthly community lunches as well. So pop on down during the day and have a chat. Or come along on Wednesdays, 1 to 3 p.m. for their craft and cuppers as well. We have ECOS having their 20th birthday, which is incredible. 20 years for ECOS. They are having a special fundraising event on Saturday the 16th of May from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. celebrating 20 years of ECOS with a special community dinner, entertainment, fundraising auction, and recognising its contribution to the environment, action and community connection as well. So if you search the ECOS website or on their Facebook page, you'll find out where the tickets are available from there. But a great event to come along, and a fantastic dinner that's being provided by Koha Cafe as well. Next event is on Saturday the 23rd of May, Storytelling Paths to Belonging at ECOS as well. So it's Saturday 23rd of May, 10 till 2 p.m. and an interactive storytelling workshops exploring connection, belonging and place through creative expression, guided in a supportive group environment as well. Again, go to the ECOS website or Facebook page to find out more information. We also have National Reconciliation Week coming up on Thursday the 20th of May at the Hillsville Memories, a special event for National Reconciliation Week. Catch up on my words there. Thursday, 28th of May, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Here's the memo. It's a meaningful community event celebrating reconciliation, connection, culture, featuring First Nation artist Baker Boy as well. So big call out to him. It's a great event. If you search the council website for events, National Reconciliation Week, it's a great. Bookings are essential because places are limited. Please jump on the website there and book as well. And we're back to the wild again, hosting another fantastic event. This is on Friday, 29th of May, 6:30 p.m. It's their movie night, free movie night at the Don Valley Hall for family-friendly, when they're featuring The Wizard of Oz, a classic as always. So bring something to share, to supper, and enjoy a relaxing evening with your local community. It's such a beautiful hall. Please pop down. It's an incredible little space to have. Enjoy a movie with your friends, something you can see on the big screen, The Wizard of Oz. You've probably all seen it before, but have you seen it on the big screen? Chance to bring down your kids as well, and it's just a great place to come along and enjoy and meet the Wild Community Group. Coming up next is on Saturday the 30th of May, we have the Climate Ready Farm Tour and Seminar at ECOS. It's a free practical event for rural landholders focusing on drought readiness and sustainability farming, including farm tours, expert speakers, and a catered lunch. And it's a free event. That's on Saturday, the 30th of May, 9:30 till 2:45 p.m. at ECOS. Again, jump on the ECOS website or Facebook page to find out more. Yarrangers Council's hosting the Yarrangers Volunteer Expo on Saturday, the 30th of May, at the Civic Centre in Lilydale. It's 9:30 till 12 p.m. Meet local community groups and discover volunteering opportunities across the Yarrangers. It's a great way to connect to local communities, find out if you're interested in volunteering, what your opportunities are, to have all community opportunities around the Yarrangers, from Lilydale to out to Yarra Glen to Warburton, up to the Sassafras and Belgrave. So all those groups come together to share and celebrate their volunteer opportunities. And a few things coming up next month is the Warburton Film Festival, which is from the 12th of June to the Sunday, the 14th of June, the Arts Centre in Warburton. They're a great lineup. It's a great, amazing community group organising this for, I think it's at least 30 years now. So fantastic to come check it out. Just search Warburton Film Festival on your browser or on the council webpage, and you'll find out all the events happening, all the films on show as well. The last call out is there's a Young Artists and Entrepreneurs Market hosted by Gladysdale Primary School. That's on Saturday, the 20th of June, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a creative community market led by young people aged 5 to 18 years old, showcasing handmade products, services and performances. A market made by the young people, showcasing their handmade products and services. So if you would like to come along, fantastic. But if you know somebody who's from 5 to 18 years old who loves to do markets, or was thinking about doing their very first market, has some making some things at home they want to sell, or some produce, or do a performance, reach out to Gladysdale Primary School. They're really keen to find out who else would like to host a stall or perform as well. So that's on Saturday, the 20th of June, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Always amazing things happening in Appia and the Valley as well. So much happening as well. So if you want to find out more, obviously you can go on the Facebook pages, and Googlesburg Council website has got the events page there with all the activities happening across the Yarra Valley to find out more. But we have great markets on across the region as well, in Healesville and Millgrove and Warburton and ECOS and Yarra Junction. So get out and about, jump on, connect to community, and see you again next month.